Welcome into the Sports Hub Patriots podcast. It's time to take a look back at day seven of Patriots training camp and where we're at through 7 days. I'm Alex Barth from 98.5 thesportshub.com, joined by Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal. Mark, how's it going today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Let's start sort of explaining or trying to break down what today's practice was, because it was one of the more unique practice structures I think I've seen from them in training camp. And in my 5 years on the beat, they were out of pads after being in full pads the last 2 days. It was almost exclusively 11s, but it kind of felt like lower tempo. And what it made me think back to, and Max said something yesterday, and Bill sort of talked about this before practice, they have to, all the stuff they want to run, they have to get it on tape before they can go back and watch it to fix it, right? It felt like the last 2 days was them getting everything on tape, and today was maybe the fixing day. That's how I read it. I'm kind of curious how you read today's practice.
It's funny. I thought of it as more of a correction day. Things didn't seem completely full tempo, almost three-quarter speed for most of it. I thought it was a day to, yeah, fix their mistakes from the past 2 days, sort of slow things down and try to make some adjustments. On top of that, honestly, I thought it was a recovery day for several veterans who were limited. Devin McCourty, Malcolm Butler, Brian Hoyer, Dietrich Wise, all of these guys were down lower field. It was a bigger group on the lower conditioning field. And for those who don't know, when players are limited, they typically do conditioning drills on a different field from the practice one. We had a big group down there today. And I know Ramondre Stevenson wasn't really practicing either. He looked kind of limited. It seemed like one of those days where, like, all right, if you're banged up from 2 days in pads, sort of take it easy, get yourself right. And for the guys who are on the field, let's slow things down a little bit and try to make some corrections. And on offense, that's really what they have to do, because right now things just are sort of disjointed. I thought we saw that at the end of practice on the goal line, that the offense with Mac really wasn't that great. So they have a lot of corrections they have to make. And yeah, I think it was a good thing after 2 days in pads to sort of slow down a bit, just sort of, you know, you're right, put the tape on, try to make the adjustments, and then go back. And maybe they get in pads tomorrow, and it's going to be really hot also. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one.
And so I compared it, like, where my mind went, I don't know if you're a golfer. I play golf a little bit, and you hit a couple of bad shots with the same club. You kind of go through just against air, and you do like you swing in slow motion to try to see where your swing's falling apart, right? That's sort of what this felt like today, was like that slow motion swing to, hey, let's just break it down. Let's take a closer look and see exactly where this disconnect is and fix it.
And even with like Mac Jones, I want to say he started off, he might have been like, I think he completed maybe 13 passes or 11 passes in a row to start practice, but they weren't really like these highlight type throws that we've seen a lot sort of this offseason with him. It was really easier throws. I mean, and like 7-on-7s, he's been killing the defense, but let's be honest, players, you can throw to sort of like a quick out route. There's like no one there because there's only 7 defensive players on the field. But it felt to me like there were just, things were a little bit more simpler and dialed back for the offense. Yeah, maybe on a day like this, that's what you need to do. I think Mac's clearly been frustrated. The offense, in my opinion, hasn't looked better than the defense since the first day of camp. And defense has kind of been taking it to him. I think the only positive that I could take out of that is that it's not because of Mac. The offense isn't struggling because of their quarterback. I don't think they're struggling because of the players on the field. It's more these new schematic changes are really what's sort of slowing down the group. So anything you can take away from training camp, it's, yeah, the offense hasn't been great, but I don't think it's the players on the field for the reason.
Yeah, and I know that's something you wrote about yesterday for the Providence Journal, the schematic element of it all. What did you, and it's tough for us up on the Hill. We don't know the exact conversations that are going on, but within that, did anything stand out to you today as maybe a focus within the focus of turning things around, whether it was a group of players or a concept or something? Did anything stand out to you that you think they were really trying to drill today?
I thought today it was almost a throwback to last season, where even some of the run plays, I mean, they're still doing some of the zone runs that we've seen over the past 2 days, and that's closer to Sean McVay's system. But today I thought they had a couple more plays that, you know, honestly, it looked like the McDaniel system from, you know, the last 10 years. And maybe this is sort of what we're going to see. Like when we say like new offense for the Patriots, they're not going to completely scrap last year's playbook. Like that's still going to be involved. They're going to take these new plays, these new sort of like West Coast system. They're going to blend it in with what they did last year and try to move forward without McDaniels. And I thought today we saw that a little bit. I thought some of the plays, I'm like, all right, yeah, the offense sort of looks similar to what they did last year. And maybe that's a sign of things to come, right? I mean, the early stages in camp, you want to install all the new base plays. Even Mac Jones admitted he's not making adjustments at the line. They're just running the plays that are called. So maybe it's about getting these new plays in. And as we go forward, they'll sort of start to blend in with what they did well a year ago.
there's been a lot of focus, especially as we talk about today's reset day on the offense, right? Because the offense has struggled. The defense has obviously played well. I don't think they tell you they've been perfect through, you know, two padded practices. Is there anything you notice maybe defensively that you think they took, you know, they're taking advantage of this teaching day too and cleaning things up?
Yeah. You know, I think I keep noting that the personnel on the field, like the Patriots' number one cornerback to me looks like Jalen Mills. I thought it was the same today. He's probably been consistently the best corner on the field. I think that'd make a lot of Patriots fans like roll their eyes. But honestly, I don't think it's been a bad thing. Like Jalen Mills has been good. And last year, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but last year he struggled against the Cowboys when the Pats lost in overtime. He was actually lights out for the second half of the season after that. I have the numbers somewhere on Twitter. But, like, trust me, people, Jalen Mills was really good in the second half of 2021. And the Pats really, really missed him in Buffalo. Like, everyone talks about the Pats defense, and they say, oh, they couldn't stop Josh Allen. They never punted. They scored a touchdown every drive. Yeah, but they were missing Jalen Mills and Jonathan Jones, right? They didn't have backups. So I think this year they don't have the top-end talent like J.C. Jackson, but you have more depth at cornerback than you did a year ago with Mills, Terrence Mitchell, Malcolm Butler, Jack Jones. And even at the slot, like when they lost Jonathan Jones last year, Miles Bryant came in and honestly couldn't cover. He couldn't cover Isaiah McKenzie, Russell Gage. He just sort of struggled in that area. So they drafted Marcus Jones, you know, and we've seen Sean Wade play more. So I think the cornerback position, I like the depth they have. I like what Jalen Mills has done. I think that's looked promising. And so I think they're in a better spot depth-wise, even though they don't have the All-Pro, you know, shutdown number one in J.C. Jackson.
Right. Maybe not as top heavy, but it's a more complete group than it was last year. And it was like Devontae Bosby they had out on the field last year in that Buffalo game, right? Guys who were playing their first NFL game of the season, some of them their career in that game. Up front defensively, Christian Barmore's looked like one of the best players in practice, you know, across the board. I think Mac Wilson's had a couple of strong days here. Raekwon McMillan coming in, I know that was a concern for a lot of Patriots fans, especially the linebacker position, but the front seven as a whole, after the way they got ran on last year, what's been your assessment of that group now that we've actually got to see them hit a little bit?
Yeah, Christian Barmore looks like a force. I mean, honestly, this guy to be profiled is like a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. He's been that good. And in one-on-ones, it hasn't been fair. Like he ragdolled. It was Michael Owenu yesterday. And then it was, you know, was the undrafted guy? Is it Cody Russell, the undrafted?
Cody Roussey, yeah.
Cody Roussey, yeah, that wasn't even fair. I mean, Barmore has been so dominant in one-on-ones. It sort of reminds me of Vince Wilfork. He used to do that. People couldn't contend or compete with Vince Wilfork in one-on-ones because he was, you know, such a talented interior lineman. I think Barmore has similar potential. And even after today's practice, he was like, well, my goal is to be better against the run. Yeah, that would keep him on the field, you know, for all three downs instead of being the pass rusher. But he's been great. I think the pass rush has been decent. A lot of guys have been sticking out to me who have been surprises. Ronnie Perkins had a couple of flashes yesterday. Anthony Jennings had a great practice like 3 days ago, and I think he's been pretty good in camp. Raekwon McMillan's been a surprise. He's been really next to Juwan Bentley the entire time. So, like, the front seven lost Hightower, Van Noy, Jamie Collins, all these veterans, but they have these younger guys, and I think it's working, and theoretically, they can play more zone and be faster with some of the guys they have. You know, Josh Uche is another. So, yeah, I think it's been fascinating. They've certainly been taking it to the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line's been struggling with these zone runs, and they've been stuffed a lot. But, you know, give credit to the defense a little bit.
Yeah, so this is always one of the questions of camp, right? And it's tough because you can't – when people say, oh, the Patriots had a good day at camp or the Patriots had a bad day, I always kind of pause because, well, if somebody on the Patriots had a good day, it means somebody else had a bad day, right? Outside of just committing a ton of penalties for one good, there has to be one bad. How do you weigh the success the defensive front has had so far versus the offense clearly struggling to pick up this new offensive system?
I think realistically, you'd want to see it more balanced. Like the offense went a couple of days and then defense went a couple of days. I think the defense has been sort of so dominant the last really, you know, say we're about 6-7 practices in a row. It's a bit concerning. I think you just want to see more, I guess, a higher compete level from the offense. And it's going to take some time. That's really sort of my thing. It's like, all right, yeah. Like today, Mac Jones, they had 3 reps, the red zone end practice. First one he hits, Kendrick Bourne for a touchdown, which was great. But the next two plays were blown up. One, because Matthew Judon sort of rushed him out of the pocket. He threw the ball away. And then Mac Jones' last rep in the red zone, he gets sacked by Mac Wilson. No one touched him. So I'm like, all right, that sort of looked like a disaster to end practice for the offense. You want to see better. But, you know, good on Mac Jones. I mean, Mac Wilson and Matthew Judon for getting there. So, like, from my standpoint, you give props to the defense. You just don't want to see it so one-sided.
Right. And it has felt that way at times with the defense. You mentioned Mack Wilson there. I know we just sort of talked about defense, but he really has been, he had the sack today. He had a sack yesterday. I had him down for plus plays in all three elements yesterday as a run defender, a pass rusher, and in coverage. As the page, and you mentioned you've liked what you've seen from Raekwon McMillan too. I think a lot of people, we came in to this camp, and Cameron McGrone was the guy that was getting pumped, right? We heard the coaching staff talk a lot about him. And now it's kind of McMillan and Wilson back and forth in that off ball role. And they've both done a couple of other things too. What's been your read on that position specifically? And maybe who do you have ahead, or if they platoon, who do you like better from those two?
So I think, last year, towards the end of the year, after they traded Gilmore, the Pats were playing more zone defense. There was like a stretch. They were almost in zone 75% of the time, which was not normal. And I think a problem they had is that the linebackers they had, Hightower, Van Noy, and Collins, they're not really zone coverage linebackers. They're more like, hit the line of scrimmage, fill the gaps, these big, hulking, strong guys who are going to stop the run and get to the pass rush. Well, if you want to play zone, you need lighter, quicker linebackers who can drop into coverage. I think that's what they have, and that's one thing I've sort of noted about Mack Wilson and Raekwon McMillan. They should be able to do those things. I mean, especially better than Juwan Bentley. Like, Juwan Bentley is not a zone linebacker. He's going to fill the gaps. He's really smart. He's closer to Dante Hightower than he is, someone who's going to drop into coverage. But I think it's certainly been noteworthy that you think about, all right, Josh Uche, Ronnie Perkins, even Cam McGrone, these guys are just lighter and faster. So theoretically, the Patriots should be faster in defense. Their linebackers should be able to drop back coverage. And maybe that'll allow them to play better, because if you're going to play more zone, you don't need a J.C. Jackson, right? Right. Play zone defense with your cornerbacks. Play zone with your linebackers. I think their personnel sort of sets them up to do that and maybe have better results in 2022.
Back to the offensive side of the ball. I've been personally been getting a ton of questions about Tyquan Thornton. Should we believe the hype? People don't want to get hurt again by another one of these wide receivers that's kind of, gets out to this great start. And I think he has gotten out to a great start. There's still a long way to go. But I think to this point, he's done just about everything you'd hoped he would do. That's my read on it. Are you buying into the Tyquan Thornton hype? And what do you see as, the next step for him proving that maybe, we all came in, I think, or not all, but a lot of people, me included, said, this might be a redshirt year. I feel like that conversation is starting to get further and further off the table. Where are you at with Thornton through a week at camp?
I've been really impressed with him this week. You learn a lot about players in training camp when pads come on. Like, often guys won't have pads on. They show up, they play great. Pads come on, they disappear. Opposite with Tyquan Thornton. Pads have come on and he's just got better and better. Like, we've seen improvements from day one to now day 7-8 with Tyquan. It's exactly what you want to see. But on top of his speed, he really tracks the ball well in the air. He's shown good hands. He's been working as a gunner on special teams. I've been really impressed. Like, honestly, I like what I've seen more from Tyquan right now as a rookie than what I did from Nikhil as a rookie. And then, going back a ways here, Nikhil's rookie training camp, he made highlight catches. But the deal with Nikhil, he didn't have the ability to separate from his targets. So he sort of always had to jump up and make these like leaping grabs. But Nikhil, one thing he didn't do was make easy catches. He double clutched a lot, caught balls against his body. And really the rookie that year was Jacoby Myers, who was able to get open. And it seemed like Brady Trust, an undrafted free agent over the team's first round pick. We all know how that worked out. With Tyquan, it's just been interesting that he's not only getting praise from really all his teammates for the work he's put in, but we're actually seeing the results up close. And that's what you want to see from a rookie in training camp. You want to see him continuously get better. I haven't really seen too many drop passes. He's not making these erroneous mistakes. I'm not I'm a little nervous about this guy. I'm not. Honestly, I'm kind of excited about him. I think the question I have about the receivers, though, is you're so deep in a sense, right? Parker, Bourne, Aguilar, Myers, and Thornton, that's five deep. Did they draft a guy in the second round to sit him? I don't think so, but I don't know how you're going to split up those snaps. And it'll be fascinating as the summer goes on. Do the Patriots look to trade someone, say Nelson Aguilar, who I think has had a great camp, but you probably drafted Thornton to replace Aguilar next year. Aguilar is in a contract year. So I do wonder if Thornton continues to progress, will he move past a veteran and force the Patriots to sort of make a move? Now, I guess ideally you say, keep the depth. I get it. Yeah, sure. You also have to play the best players, and it'll be great. But honestly, I'm on the Tyquan Thornton hype train. I'll jump aboard.
Well, it gets really interesting even beyond the snaps. And like you said, those are five guys competing for really only three of them can get, significant snaps. And then you go even further down, right? Trey Nixon, I think, has had a couple of nice days here. Do they see Ty Montgomery as a running back? Do they see him as a wide receiver? The numbers there are going to get really interesting. And you bring up the trade, and whether it's Nelson Agholor, I think Nelson Agholor and Jakobi Meyers are the two most likely guys who could be dealt, being they're on contract years. Well, now you look at what happened in Denver yesterday, right? Where Tim Patrick goes down and he's going to miss. I don't know if they've ruled him out entirely for the season yet, but is going to miss significant time and is a key player in that offense and a team that is in a win now mode. You might get teams calling about these guys. You may end up in a seller's market for wide receivers. And just, again, we haven't even had a joint practice yet or a preseason game or anything, but Tyquan Thornton kind of pushing that depth chart really changes the picture, I think, of how they approach this position when it comes to putting together the final roster.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see how they're set up, because you look at it like, who's the slot receiver? It's clearly Jakobi Meyers, and honestly, his backup's kind of been Trey Nixon in practice, which has been interesting. You know, Kendrick Bourne plays sort of that Z spot, where they play him outside, a little bit of inside, kind of like Julian Edelman when they had Amendola. And then at the X, it's been Devontae Parker, Nelson Agholor, and Tyquan Thornton, three players there. You know, how do you split up the snaps? It's real. I keep using the word fascinating. Like, I like what I see, and I think the Patriots have a great problem on their hands that they may have too many good X receivers right now that they want to play. You know, but there's risk involved too, right? Like, you trade Agholor, someone gets hurt, and all of a sudden you're calling up Christian Wilkerson or, you know, trade Nixon, and it's not working as well. So the Pats have done stuff like that in the past. I mean, like, I want to say their cornerback position or like quarterback position. I'm trying to think, back in the day, they were loaded at cornerback, and they ended up trading Justin Coleman to Seattle for like a seventh. They cut Kenny Moore. And you look back on it, and you're like, they kept like, might have been Cyrus Jones or something. And at the end of the day, they needed more cornerback depth, where obviously Kenny Moore played well, and I think Justin Coleman, you know, played well as well. And they think back to it, like, they probably should have kept the cornerbacks or at least an extra guy out there instead of, you know, trading someone. But yeah, risk with it. But hey, yeah, let's see some joint practices and preseason games, and you know, see Tyquan keep doing it.
Right. And then you remember too, I mean, the other variable here, Devontae Parker, right, has only played one full season his whole career.
Yeah.
It's to kind of bring it back to what we were talking about before with the offensive line, you know, coming into camp, and this is a Patriots team that's kind of been built the same way for a few years here. You go back like 4 or 5 years now, where the offensive line's been one of their strengths. Their offensive line has been one of the best offensive lines in football, and wide receiver, they've kind of been, you know, chasing the bit at wide receiver. Really, it feels like since they traded away Brandon Cooks. And now here we are, and it happened very quickly where, oh, they've got wide receivers now. And maybe they don't have that true 1A wide receiver, but they've got depth. They've got NFL talent on that depth chart, up and down that depth chart. And now it's offensive line, where you've got four new starters, at least in terms of their positions. One of those guys is new to the team. The depth is kind of a question mark as well. After Justin Herron, you know, who are your backup interior offensive linemen? Is it James Ferentz? Can somebody beat him out? It really feels like offensively, and again, this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, and I think the big picture, the script's really been flipped in terms of what we look at this off, how we look at this offense in terms of what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, especially in the passing game.
And like the offensive line too, like obviously they lost their offensive line coach from a year ago. Now you have Matt Patricia running the show, and he hasn't done that in like decades, you know, coach offensive lineman. And offensive line, yeah, I could see how that could be a concern too. I mean, we only had 2 days of pads. I didn't think Cole Strange stuck out in one-on-ones, sort of some welcome to the NFL moments for him. I think he got, you know, pushed around a little bit. You know, you hope that it gets better for Cole, because clearly they drafted him to be a plug and play day one starter. Michael Owen was another interesting one. He flashed so much as a rookie. I thought he played better at tackle than he has at guard. I mean, last year he was benched in favor of Ted Karras. With the Patriots this offseason, honestly, really wanted Ted Karras back. That was one of their goals. They didn't handle the free agent situation with him well enough. They took money off the table, which wasn't smart, and he obviously signed with Cincinnati. So now you have Michael Owenu, who today it seemed like Arlington Hambright was up at right guard when Mac Jones is on the field a couple times. So I'm like, that's interesting. Why is that happening? Obviously, there's no contact. Maybe they were giving Owenu a breather, but they've started to test out another right guard, a guy we don't know all that well. And then, who are the backups on this team? I mean, you know, this kid from the CFL, right? Drew Daylard.
Dejarlay.
Yeah, I can't say that name for the life of me. And at tackle, Justin Herron's probably your best backup. And after him, it's probably Yad Nkejuice, who didn't play well last year. And then at center, it's probably James Ferentz, I would say. But I'm like, the offensive line is at a spot where you lose one guy. I don't know how easy it is to replace him. I mean, it'll be fascinating to see what happens to Isaiah Wynn. You know, do the Pats see him here and want to pay him $10 million? Do they try to get rid of him and play Justin Herron? But that's another thing. If you do trade Isaiah Wynn and start Justin Herron, Yad Nkejuice is your best tackle after that. That's not ideal. I'd like to see more depth. That might be – this might be a spot where the Pats do look to add or, you know, trade or acquire someone, you know, in the coming weeks. And historically, trades and training camp happen really more towards the end of it when players are going to get cut. But that's something to monitor on the Patriots. I didn't love their depth last year at tackle. Definitely hurt them a little bit. I don't love it so far in camp.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. And then even if, you know, you mentioned putting Herron at right tackle if you move Wynn, I think another option, I agree with you. I think Michael Onwenu's a tackle. I know they're still sort of figuring it out. He's fine at guard, but I think his better position is a tackle. Well, okay, if you want to kick him outside, now who's your starting right guard, right? Is it Hambright? Is it Desjarlais? Do they have to go get somebody else? So it feels like for the last couple of years, there's been this luxury of they had so many offensive linemen and they were all so versatile that even if they lost one or two guys, remember that game in Kansas City in 2020 where you know Joe Tooney's playing center and I think Wynn started at guard in that game and they still sort of held up against a decent pass rush. That's sort of gone. It really feels like they've gotten to a paper thin point on the line. At least to this point, like you said, that would be a spot where I could totally see them adding somebody later down the road. All right, before we wrap it up here, is there any other players, any other storylines that have stuck out to you in camp that we didn't get to?
You know, I'll be honest, the question marks I do have are with this team that I can't answer, honestly, are running backs because we haven't seen much. And I'm really fascinated to see how Ramondre Stevenson has developed from a year ago. We've talked a lot of him about his receiving and his pass catching ability. It's hard to sort of analyze that in just the way they practice, right? So next week when we have our first preseason game, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the running backs have to actually look running through a hole. Like, are they making the right reads, right? We haven't seen really anything from Pierre Strong. I mean, Kevin Harris looks huge. He's built like a linebacker. I really want to see him, you know, run in the preseason. You said Ty Montgomery. How do they use him? You know, is it more as a receiver? Is it as a running back? I mean, he does position drills with both groups. Those are not things that are standing out, but more questions I have about the team that I'm like, yeah, I don't know anything about the running back group other than, you know, what we saw from Harris and Stevenson last year. And then, you know, on top of that, I think the defensive line just is, it's really interesting. Like, I really think, like, with Davin Godchow and Christian Barmore, they could be a really good pair, you know, for the foreseeable future here. We're talking like the next 2-3 seasons. Yeah. I really like what they have going on there. And I think the Patriots are hopeful they're going to turn a corner there. Their rush defense wasn't great a year ago, but I think they have the right players, you know, there. And then Barmore's been great. I think Godchow's been pretty good too.
So it's just it's interesting to me you mentioned Barmore and Godchow because they're both defensive tackles, you know, by trade. But the Patriots signed Barmore to that extension. They generally don't pay two down guys that kind of money. And you go back and look late last year when Barmore started to play some three tech, even a little five tech, and it felt like he played some of his better ball. Do you think their plan is to keep him at the nose and maybe move Barmore to that spot? Or do you think we maybe see Christian Barmore some more as a, you know, for lack of a better term, a big defensive end?
Yeah, I think they might move him around. I think Godchow might be, you know, more so the nose tackle, and they're going to move, or, you know, Christian Barmore was actually talking about that today, all the different techniques they have him playing on the defensive line. And he essentially named three different spots, and I thought that was interesting. He mentioned nose, but it sort of seems like they're trying to set up these pieces that are just sort of being chess pieces for Bill Belichick to use, right? Let's mix and match, pick your spots. Do you want him going up against the center, left guard, or right guard? Who's the best matchup? And I think they have the ability to do that. You know, you have Lawrence Guy in the mix too. It's like, it's so funny because Lawrence is, I don't know, he hasn't popped much to me, but he's, you know, he's in his, getting up to his mid-30s now. But I think you have really good depth at defensive tackle when you're talking about that with Godchow, Barmore, and Guy. And there's even been times where, like, Daniel Okwale has popped a little bit and, you know, guys like that. So, yeah, I think we're going to see them move around. Godchow will probably be the nose tackle. And if all goes right with Barmore, he'll be a three-down player. I mean, for him, he said it today, he has to be better against the run. He's already a good interior pass rusher, but I think they have a high potential with that group.
And that's, you have to imagine the plan, right? Use a second round pick, a top 50 pick on a guy. You want him on the field as much as possible. He is Mark Daniels. He covers the Patriots for Providence Journal. You can find his work there and on Twitter at Mark Daniels PJ. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex. My pleasure.